We're reading this afternoon from the Psalm 39. To the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a Psalm of David. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me, while I was musing the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. We know that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. The title of this psalm tells us that it was written to Jeduthun. Jeduthun was one of David's masters of music. Actually, in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 15, he is called the king's seer, denoting that he was a prophet. This was a psalm that was either composed to be sung by Jeduthun, or Jeduthun composed the tune by which the psalm would be sung. This particular psalm has been called a funeral psalm. There certainly is a strong hint of sorrow in the words. The words are full of pathos. Had David lost someone who was near to him, who was close to him at the time of writing, that is very, very possible. He talks here about his grief. He was dumb with silence, he said in the verse 2. His sorrow was stirred. Verse 3 tells us his heart was hot. Verse 3 also tells us while he was musing or thinking, the fire burned. There was a burning within his heart, a burning within his breast. He was suffering, he was sorrowing. It appears that he was a man who was mourning. Perhaps you are facing a situation in your life and you're full of sorrow. You face tragedy, you face difficulty. The more you think, the more your heart burns within you. Your heart truly is broken. David, in the midst of his heartbrokenness, was able to look to the Lord. And in the verse 7 he said, And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. This verse is a hinge upon which the psalm swings. In the lines before this verse, he was full of grief and self-pity. But the lines after this verse, he starts looking upward. He starts looking to God. His hope was in God. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Is your hope in the Lord today? Whatever your problem is, whatever your fear is your hope in the Lord? Why should you look to the Lord? That's the question I'm going to ask this afternoon. Why did David hope in the Lord? Why should you place all your trust upon God today? Well, David trusted in God absolutely because of the weakness of his mind. He was aware that he was only a man. The more he thought about his trouble and the more he thought about his anxiety, the more pain he felt. His sorrow was stirring, his heart was burning. He could not find the solution within himself. He could not discover comfort within his own heart or his own thoughts. He had to look to the Lord. Can you really comfort yourself? Can you find peace within yourself? You can't. None of us can. We often say it is good to talk to someone else whenever we suffer, and there's a lot of truth in that. Don't leave yourself alone in this world. Look for a friend, a trusted friend, someone whom you can rely upon. But above all, the best friend will point you to Christ. The best friend you have is a Christian friend who will show you that Christ is the Prince of Peace. Christ is the one who bore all your sorrows. Christ is the one who says to those who labour and are heavy laden, come unto me, and there is peace with him. No, because of our own weakness, we must trust in the Lord, and we must trust in Christ. David was also very aware of the fact that his tongue was weak, and therefore he had to trust in the Lord. He couldn't find the right words. In fact, in the verse 1, he said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. He felt he had to bridle his tongue. He was afraid of saying something out of place. Such was the pain of heart that he felt. He was thinking to himself, if I am to say something, I will say the wrong thing. You see, he was struggling to make sense of his life, and he couldn't articulate the right words that would be proper. Therefore, he bridled his tongue and he said, I'm trusting in the Lord. There's a lot of practical common sense in these words. How often have we not heard someone speaking at a time of trouble, and we say to ourselves, that man or that woman would have been better keeping quiet. They added nothing to the situation whatsoever. In fact, they made it worse. We should never allow ourselves to be caught into that trap. Better than to say nothing than to say something that is foolish. David was a wise man indeed. He was going to look to the Lord rather than make sense of his problems and his situation by himself. Do you sense your own weakness? Is it not about time you look to the Lord and cast all your care upon him, the one who truly cares for you? But there was another reason why David looked to the Lord. He not only sensed the weakness of his mind, but he also sensed the weakness, the frailty of his body. He understood that he was a mortal man. And this is one of the reasons why we believe that this was a funeral psalm, because David was in the grip of mortality. He knew that he was going down to the grave. And if there is a time when we realize that we are a dying race, it is at the funeral yard. Whenever we stand at the grave and whenever we look at a loved one being lowered into that hole in the ground, we realize that one day we will be there ourselves. We realize that life is short, and the older we get, the shorter life becomes. Therefore, in the verse 4, he said, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. He didn't say much to others, but he said a lot to the Lord. And as he spoke to the Lord, he said, Lord, make me realize that I am frail, that my life is short. In fact, in the verse 5, he said, my life is just like a handbreadth. A handbreadth. In the verses 5 and 6, he also said that man's life was not only short but vain. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity, and vanity means emptiness. He mourned people who spent all of their time gathering up riches, and someone else was going to gather them after they passed away. The vanity, the emptiness of life, we expend so much time and energy on that which ultimately will pass away and be no more. We need to know the frailty, the emptiness, the brevity of life. We need a sense of this, don't we? Sometimes we live as if we are very important, as if we are the center of our universe. We live as if we will be here tomorrow and we'll be here every day in the future. And it's just a lie. We need to make preparation for death, because there is life beyond death. There is an existence beyond death. There is a place called heaven and there is a place called hell. We will one day stand before God, and preparation needs to be made for that. There was a house in the county of Cheshire in England. It was built in 1836, and this inscription was placed upon the house. You would weep if your life was limited to 1 month, yet you laugh while you know not, but it may be restricted to a day. How true that is. If you knew you had a month to live, you would cry, but yet you may only have a day to live, and yet you live as if you'll never die. Is that not so? Death may be just around the next corner. For someone who is listening, death may only be a breath away. That's the reality of it. And if that is not a reason for trusting the Lord, then nothing is. There's nothing in this world for you. You need to look to Christ, the one who rose again, the one who defeated death. He didn't cheat death. He defeated death. He conquered death. He rose from that grave. He left the grave clothes behind. He's a living Saviour. He's willing to save you today if you give your life to him. And so David, he was hoping in God, trusting in God, because his mind was weak, because his body was weak. But he also trusted in the Lord because his soul was sinful. His soul was weak. He was a man conscious of his own transgressions, conscious of his iniquity. He said in the verse 8, deliver me from all my transgressions. In the verse 11, he said, when thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. You know the way a moth eats away at the clothes. Moth leaves holes in the very best of garments. He said, man, for all of his beauty, he consumes away like a moth. He's full of holes. Why is he full of holes? Because of his sin. Because God must chasten man. God must rebuke man for his sin. And so man is a creature. He's fading away. He's not fading away simply because of his mortality. He's fading away because of his sinfulness. David recognized this. Therefore he hoped in the Lord. He said to the Lord, deliver me from all my transgressions. He said to the Lord in verse 12, hear my cry and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. David, he cried to the Lord. He acknowledged that he was a stranger in this world. He acknowledged that he was a sinner before God. He wanted spiritual strength. He wanted God's grace. He wanted God's gift. Therefore, he prayed in the midst of his trouble. His hope was in God. Whatever your trouble is today, you know all about it. It's causing you pain and grief. But here is hope. Hope in the man, Christ Jesus. Will you not give your life to him today? Trust him and yield your heart to him as your Saviour and your Redeemer. I thank you so much for listening.